Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, everybody. Wow. I mean, how exciting. It's been 5 years since I've been on the air, and I have the honor of having an incredible co-host. Johnny, how are you, my friend?
I'm fantastic, Dan. Thanks.
Isn't it amazing how quickly we can make stuff happen?
That's putting it mildly, right?
I love it. Well, you know, I think first we just need to discuss why we did this, why we feel compelled, because if people get a chance to read through our bios, we're not going to go through all that today, but, you know, you're just finishing kind of a long career as an executive, and me having had some of that experience, but spending a whole lot of in the area of spirituality. I think we have to talk about what is the new elephant in the room.
You know, I think, Dan, as you and I have had this conversation many, many times, which ultimately led to the culmination of this, you know, what we're doing here today, and so much of it, as you look at how our world is changing, whether you throw in social media or where you talk about, you know, the things that it allows and creates, visibility, good, bad, or indifferent, depending on which circle or what it is that you're seeing take place in the world. I mean, things are far more transparent today than they've ever been. And those individuals, those leaders, those young men and women coming into the work environment, the workplace, their needs and, quite frankly, their demands are much different than those of the generations you and I grew up in. And part of that, a big part of that, is spirituality. You know, quite often we talk about, and we've been talking about for some time, when you look at a lot of what's taken place over the last several years, it's the conversation has been around diversity, and we've yet to solve that one. And then when you throw spirituality in that, it's almost like it's the scarlet letter. You know, no one wants to have the conversation. no one wants to engage in the dialogue for fear of the potential HR repercussions or whatever would go along with it.
The lawsuits, everything else that seems to come up with that.
Well, it's misunderstood, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, and the reason we call this show The New Elephant in the Room is because we as a society have tackled many of the things that ail businesses in the world, in our global marketplace, which is how do we become fair to the transgender, to the lesbian gay groups, to African-Americans, to Latinos, to Asians. I mean, it goes on and on. And this problem, by the way, is not the same problem, I recognize, for those of you listening from other countries, it's not the same problem that it is here in America. However, there is one thing that transcends all of those groups, and that is a person's inner understanding of themselves, how they perceive themselves, and how they operate in that work environment. That is called spirituality. That is not so I think it's prudent, Johnny, that you and I probably have a little conversation about spirituality and religion, because everyone hears spirituality and they think religion.
Right. Right.
Right.
And I think it's right. And you can look up on Google, you can do all the research you want, and directionally they all say the same thing. It's when you look at religion, in many cases, it's around a belief system, right? It's about your higher power, your divine entity. In some cases, if it's institutional type religion, you know, there's a set of rules or a common understanding. When you're talking about spirituality, and by the way, I think it's important to call out, they can be the same. Right, and it's kind of when we say the audio matches the video, your spirituality is what comes from inside. It's what comes from deep down within your soul, and it's really how you behave, right? So it's really believing versus being. It's how you act. It's how you conduct yourself on a daily basis. Now, when they're in alignment, it's a beautiful thing, right? It's hopefully the the way in which you speak, the way in which you raise your children, the way in which you conduct yourself. It goes back to the old definition of integrity, right? It's how you behave when other people aren't looking. It's,
yes.
That's all of those things that center around spirituality and don't necessarily, and they're not intentionally attached to any type of religion, which causes a lot of the concern in the corporate environment today.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we get nervous about what we don't know. And
right.
and for the longest time, spirituality and religion were one and the same. Today's world is much different. Our children are growing up with a greater sense of awareness and consciousness. Our children are growing up with a greater sense of right and wrong in our world, which is the reason why I think that this topic is so timely, because there is a general movement of conscious business. There's a general movement of businesses doing the right thing. Now, in corporate, that may be called corporate citizenship, but I think
right.
it goes deeper than that, doesn't it, Johnny? I mean, it really
yeah.
goes much deeper than the overall picture.
I think so, absolutely. And I think that, you know, one of the things I would go back to as you set that conversation up is when you think about religion, and I think this is where a lot of the corporate environments or any business environment struggles today, when they hear spirituality, they connect it with religion, and they go to some of the most common definitions and thoughts. They think of cause, right? They think of nature. They think of purpose of the universe, right? And then all of a sudden, it's a political hotbed. It's like, well, are you Republican, or are you Democrat, or are you liberal? No one
yes,
wants to get those
yes.
conversations, right? Right?
Yes.
Versus spirituality. I mean, it's the feelings, the experiences. It's those behaviors based on your internal compass. And so many organizations today, they're not prepared, because in some cases, quite frankly, if you have leaders that all of a sudden are not only willing but genuinely interested, truly in their heart of hearts, to really try to gain an understanding of who it is they work alongside, who it is that reports to them, multiple levels in every direction, to take the time to do that, that can be scary. And guess what? That's not necessarily a skill set. In many cases, that's a gift. And not everyone is, and unfortunately, not everyone's blessed with that gift. So if you talk about what are some of the implications or repercussions, I mean, you could literally look at turnover in executive ranks just because, not because they're bad people. Intellectually, they're some of the most talented people. I mean, for Pete's sakes, I mean, they run some of the biggest organizations in the world. But when it comes to social skills and really connecting with another human being that may be three pay scales removed from them, that doesn't necessarily come natural to everyone, and that's a big breakdown in the process.
You know, it's interesting. A few years back, Johnny, I had the pleasure of having dinner with the president of a World Bank in Manhattan, and one of the things that struck me about our conversation, and he and I had many conversations, but the conversations that we had nothing to do with the bottom line, although it had everything to do with the bottom line. In other words, he didn't ask me, you know, how do we make more money? How do we watch the bottom line? How do we – all these things that I believe his CFOs, CDOs, COOs, and all the way down were responsible for. His comment or his question to me or his willingness to look for some sort of advice or some words was, how do I evolve as a president of a World Bank to a place where I am a different person that is managing my organization into another century, into another space and time? And he was really asking, how do I evolve? The individual evolves to manage an organization that big, so that because it has always been said in leadership that the snake of the head follows the head, right? So the head of the organization, whether he or she decides to be spiritual or not, will determine kind of whether the organization is able to follow into a spiritual a path. And I'll give you an example. I won't name the companies, but I know two huge insurance companies that one of them, chairman of the board, is Buddhist, and the other one is very spiritual and runs his organization that way. So what do you think it's going to take? I mean, I'm really interested in what it would take. And for those of you that are listening in, we want to hear from you. We want you to plug in. We want you to share the audio. We're here for you. We're here to really sit down and have that conversation with you. Next week, we're going to be talking about the collaboration, how we collaborate together, and ways that we can model that behavior so that people aren't so scared. And I recognize that at the higher ranks of the corporate ladder and big companies, I don't think this question or this conversation is about are we being spiritual enough as much as are we willing to come out of our closet
right,
and make a statement, right?
I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, fear is a natural response to ignorance, and ignorance is not a bad word, right? It's not a curse word. I mean, it's just, ignorance is defined of lack of knowledge, right, or experience.
Right.
And fear is a natural response to that. And when you talk about spirituality and you say, you know, what's it going to take? I think, first of all, it takes a couple things. It comes with the acknowledgement, and there's so many case studies. I mean, pick up, you know, any book about any great company, and you fast forward to the last chapter, and what you're going to find out about. There's world-class leaders that genuinely surrounded themselves with world-class people. They worked in an environment of collaboration, genuine care and interest, not self-interest, team and company interest in accomplishing a common goal. And you can, in regardless of whether it's a hierarchical organization or not, as most are today, I mean, it's genuine. I mean, for those organizations, and you see it, that create an environment that leads with the heart and a genuine interest in the success of another human being, regardless of their level, they're always going to produce the greatest potential. And you know, Dan, as you go through this, and I've been very fortunate to work with a number of companies, one of the things that's always fascinated me is when you're in a dialogue and you hear people talk about ordinary people. And what's interesting to understand is there is no such thing anywhere on this planet as an ordinary person. And if you were to stop and take any person off the road, and it includes in your workplace, and literally take 15, 20 minutes to say, could we go grab a soda, tea, or coffee, and really and close the mouth and open the ears for long enough, you would quickly find out that to be true. Because every one of us have an amazing story. And the more, as leaders, we are willing to truly, and here's the big thing, to invest the personal time, to have that dialogue with those individuals that work alongside us, that we work for, and that report directly to us, or several pay scales away, you'd be fascinated. Because the more you get to know someone, the more you realize the gifts that they have to offer that sit there untapped. And when we talk about spirituality, I mean, it's the difference between what makes a person happy versus sad, what motivates them versus demotivates them, you know, what gives them energy versus drains. But ultimately, if you as a leader, if you can literally engage in a genuine way where your team knows that at the end of the day you've got as much skin in the game as they do, it's a difference between doing what you love or just going to a job, getting a job and going to work.
You know, I'm glad you said that because I've had some conversations with executives, business owners, and it really we're talking about the gamut here. We're talking about something that it's not a matter of it's going to change. It's changing. You're either going to be antiquated or you're going to be part of the solution. And I was having a conversation, and this is a perfect example, I think, of what Johnny and I are trying to convey about how spirituality kind of works in the workplace. I was talking to an executive, and he was saying to me, he goes, Daniel, he says, I called you because, and he's laughing at this point, and he says, I wanted to know, what's this idea you teach about peace and tranquility? And he's laughing. He says, is it really possible? And he's laughing hard, right? And so I'm sitting there listening to him, and I said, well, I'm not laughing. You are. I said, you see, no matter what you do, because many people in the workplace think that it's the job that's the problem. Many people think that it's the job or the vehicle called the corporation or company that's the problem. But in truth, what I was trying to convey to this particular executive was you can go wherever you want to go and you'll have the same problem. You see, because the problem is coming from inside, from within. It is a state of being. It's a state of understanding of a collective understanding of who you are. And so I'm going to go a little bit out there because that's what we're going to do on this show. And that is that I'm going to bring up Jesus and Buddha. Jesus and Buddha followed the laws of love, compassion, understanding, forgiveness. These are the things that spirituality encompasses, and it's much more than that. But these are the things that we're not necessarily needing to do for others always so much as we need to do for ourselves, and then it translates and transmutes and transforms others around us. And so I think that in saying that, I think it's important that people recognize that what we're talking about here is what Johnny was just saying a few minutes ago about when you take an interest in your workforce in a different space. It happens to be called spirituality today. Gosh, Johnny, I don't know what it'll be called in another 100 years, but today it's spirituality. And it's the elephant in the room because everybody in the room is practicing it. Some fashion is practicing spirituality. By the way, we're all spiritual. You may say you're not, but if you weren't spiritual or in spirit, you'd be 6 foot under, right?
That's right.
So that's the bottom line. So I think that it's important that we just kind of, you know, recognize that. And so I guess if a corporate guy was listening, Johnny, because you really had the most recent experience, you know, why should we even care? Why should they care? And again, folks, I want you to call in, or I want you to write in and let us know your thoughts, because this, what we're talking about today, we recognize, is going to push some buttons. But that's why we're here. We're here to kind of help along the conversation. You know, and Johnny and I have been really talking about what is the conversation for big business to embrace without feeling bad, to embrace without feeling like they're going to have an HR issue. I'm going to throw out a word out there, and this is by all means not necessarily what we both believe, but one that we've been playing with, and that's intuitive leadership. You know, really giving it something, can intuitiveness be spiritual? I think so. What do you think, Johnny?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it can, Dan. And I think that as you look at when you talk about intuitive leadership, it's you know, I can tell you, living with purpose, you know, the conversation and kind of how we describe it, it's those things that you tap into versus teaching. And each of us as individuals, I was having a wonderful conversation, doing some work with a terrific organization. Actually, it's a nonprofit. It's called Prison Fellowship, and I'm not trying to give them a plug there, but I was speaking to a couple of their leaders.
That's what I call a shameless plug, Johnny.
A couple of their leaders over at tea yesterday, and we were having a similar conversation about the success of the organization, you know, and they were very candid. What has been their successes and their opportunities and how far they've come. And it's fascinating. So whether it's a nonprofit in the space that they're in or a multi-billion, 10, or, you know, 10, 50, 60, $70 billion organization, it's really no different. And when you start talking about, especially when like in a nonprofit organization, because the reality is this, they're working hard every single day just to get enough money to get by. And when you have that dialogue, so much of it is not grounded in the hierarchy or this marketing strategy or, you know, this product or this service. It's about faith. It's about their belief system. It's about the individuals they surround themselves with. It's about people who've gotten together for a common good and who have a passion for doing the right thing just because it's the right thing. And in turn, what ends up happening are they outperform, and you call it magically, you can call it through hard work, you can call it however you want, but at the end of the day, the results they get are exponentially far beyond what they had hoped for. And Dan, I'll give you one of the things you were mentioning here is you talk about how organizations, what this looks like. So I was working with, I was coaching an individual this week, and he's an executive with a large organization, and he's just a super guy, just a world-class human being, an exceptional leader. And he was telling me the story, and he was telling me the story just to set it up, because ultimately he was asking me a question and looking for guidance. And he was describing that he was in the same role that he's been in now for well over a year, and very successful in this role, by the way. And he's had a change in leadership. Works in the same organization, same role, has had a change in leadership. However, his job today isn't nearly as fulfilling or as exciting as it was under his previous leadership, right? So you stop it, so you get to the root of it, you ask a handful of questions, and ultimately what he figured out was in this new environment, the way they're organized and the way they inspect work is, I guess you could call it, they micromanage it, right? They're far more involved. They're inspecting far more frequently, almost like a big brother. And it requires them to work not just five long days or those 2 days that they have off of work, you know, kind of they check in their laptop here and there, but they're literally working 7 days a week, having to travel, do all sorts of other things. And he said, it's almost like I feel that not only are we micromanaging the people that report to us, but our behaviors when we're doing this are always being inspected. He says, I'm always concerned that I'm doing something wrong, and he says, and every conversation is a coaching session, very little positive reinforcement. And I said, so how does that feel different than the boss you had prior? And he said, well, that individual, he said, I didn't worry about being in trouble or negative repercussions because that individual, one, he was very, very clear with his expectations, always. And he was always very clear that I was in this job because he felt I was qualified to be in that job. And he said, what I finally got my head around is I didn't love my job and didn't do my job for fear of not being able to provide for my family or failing. I did my job because I didn't want to disappoint that my leader and or my peers in the same position that represent my same work in other parts of the business and other parts of the country. And so one, same company, same position, but his other leader, he says, when we would do performance reviews, he said, we would seldom talk about work at all. He said, we would get together and we'd spend one full day talking about my children, about my spouse, about my hobbies, and about what I'm most passionate about in life. And he would help me build out a plan to accomplish things above and beyond what I do at work today. And he says, and today, he says, I have an occasional conversation, but it's usually one of those constructive coaching sessions. So we talk about spirituality, you know, Dan, I think in maybe a long-winded version of saying it's that genuine interest. It doesn't have to be deep, right? It doesn't have to be, you know, hardcore meditation or yoga or all these other
but
things.
But it can be.
Darn right it can be. And that's how many people, I'm a huge believer in all of that, quite frankly, right? The healthy eating, all of that. But it's those things that come from the heart. And it's genuine all the way through.
You know, at the end of the day, folks, I think what both Johnny and I agree with is that the world is sick and tired of being sick and tired. The way that we've existed and coexisted as a human race has maybe it worked for a long time, but it doesn't work today. And we're looking for a higher place, a more loving place, a more caring place. And when we spend 85 to 90% of our waking hours at work, then the workplace has to be willing to transform. It has to be willing to transmute. And what is the next agenda out there for us to strive for? And I think it's that, you know, and maybe we don't have the right words, and maybe you have better words for us to embrace. But the truth is that change is coming, change is happening, and we just need to embrace it. Embrace it and find ways to not just separate ourselves by resource groups, but bring ourselves together collectively under the umbrella of humanity with love and appreciation and compassion for each other, like you were talking about the way that this particular person was responding to different bosses. You know, we have several people on the line, and this is our very first call. We're so happy to have our show. And I'm going to unmute a number, and if you have a question, please ask it. And if you don't, well, that's okay, too. The number that I have here ends with 5979. Do you have a question? Hello, you're live.
Good afternoon. Hi, Daniel. Hi, Johnny.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Daniel, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for having this show. I just think it's totally, totally awesome. I don't even know how I got on you guys' email list, but I'm grateful because just opened the email and the show was starting like in 1 minute. So I am grateful and blessed. And here's my question. How is it, and I just had this conversation with people yesterday. People are spiritual, as you're saying, and they understand it, they recognize it, and they are doing what they feel they need to do to maintain their relationship with, you know, the Most High. How do you maintain your spirituality when you are facing a world of disappointments and you're already getting the X on your forehead every time you walk into the workplace or you're trying to work your business and things are not working out? How does a person maintain the spirituality while actually enduring disappointment, pain, suffering? That's my question, and I thank
you. Well, you bet. Well, let me. I'm going to put you back on mute. The question that she asks is very important, and it's important because what she's talking about is what's happening on the exterior. Spirituality requires that we look inward. I'm going to give you a Chinese proverb that I hope will answer your question, then I'll hand it over to Johnny. When I drink a bowl of tea, I stop a war. When I drink a bowl of tea, I stop a war. When we all collectively take care of ourselves individually, without any expectation that anything that we're doing is going to affect anything on the outside, even though it does, by staying focused on what we do, we let go of those things on the outside that we don't have power over, understanding that as a collective whole, we have power, because as I drink my bowl of tea, I stop a war. If we are going to see the shift and change that we desire in our workplace, in our world, and in our globe, we must remember that though we may have feelings toward what's happening on the outside, it is what we do on the inside that will shift the world. Johnny, we have 4 minutes. What do you have to say about that?
I think, you know, and I'm going to take one of the quotes that I think you've shared in several occasions, Dan. We've all been in your situation, and I think that when you talk about, and I love this, Dan, when you say the truth is bigger than the lies that you tell yourself. And I think there's a couple things that you need to think about there. Is first and foremost, you have to ask yourself, is there any part of this icky experience that I'm contributing to, right? Either by, could I potentially be doing something in my behaviors to drive this type of response? And or am I allowing myself to believe something that's not there? And if both of those, you can answer the question and say, actually, no, I'm doing my best. I'm not perfect, right? But I'm doing my best day in and day out to go and deliver the best version of myself. But the environment that I'm engaged in, I'm assuming you're talking about work, and I apologize if you're not. But the environment I'm engaged in, it's corrosive. It's unhealthy. I go in and it drains the energy out of me. I tell you to go get a different job. Because I'll tell you what, life's too short, and each
right
one
on.
Of us in our own way are far too special to allow ourselves to live in an environment where we can't be the best version of ourselves. Surround yourself with people that are more like yourself, and hang on. Because when you do something like, and there's so many people out there that have a belief system similar to yours, and the life's just, the world's too beautiful and grand to be sit there and with that mess, I can tell you that.
Right on. Well, listen, folks, we've run out of time today. We're so glad that you listened in. We're so happy to be on the air. We're going to be here every Thursday at 12, and we want to take questions. And thank you so much for asking your question. Tune in next week. We're going to have Henning Morales, who is the CEO of Ascent Expo. It's an expo coming to Los Angeles next at the end of February, and he is bringing the whole idea of conscious business to the table and saying, hey, let's put it out there, let's make it big, and let's make it work. So this will be next week's call at 12 o'clock. Thank you so very much. Johnny, you have anything to say as we depart?
We appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
All right, right on.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit Daniel's website at danielgutierrez.com. You can also call Johnny and Daniel directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.